At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now, stop humming, it's everything to change. That warp tool made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming intros always. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back to America's Game, episode number 42. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by my co-host, Mike. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening? Tuesday night. Whew! It's already been a long week, Eric. It's only freaking Tuesday.
Yeah, it has been a long week for sure. Long weekend, carries into the week.
Yeah, I'm ready for the weekend, man. I need like a day where I just don't do anything. I think I need that. Just give me a Saturday.
Yeah, well, we got a holiday coming up here.
Oh, that's true. Thank God. Yes, you're right.
You'll have hopefully a nice Sunday, Monday off there.
Yeah, and then I start a new job on Tuesday. So, you know, right back at it.
Right back at it. Nice. How's your rookie draft been going so far? Are they mostly done? Still got a bunch to go? Or
A couple stragglers, but mostly done. Probably 95% done. There's some weird leagues where people like drafting in July for whatever god awful reason.
right.
No, yeah, I don't know. It is. July's like a real dead time though until training camp kicks off. So,
right.
I guess that's okay. But still, I'd rather just get my rookie drafts done and then, you know, enjoy the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what my team looks like, so I can make trades and other shit. But
yeah. That's one of my things is I go through some of my teams and I get to like team three and I'm like already bored.
Right.
I'm like, I want to stop making offers now.
It's rough too. Like all those drafts that finished up and then you got to do UDFA like waiver pickups and shit. I think I made it through like 30 teams before I was just like, I don't even give a shit. fuck it. I'll figure it out over the next couple months when I pull this roster up and, you know. Or a trade comes in, and then I'll look at it. But, yeah, there's, like, certain leagues where I really hone down because I'm like, I just hate the fucking people I play against and want to beat their ass. Like, there's that one guy that just pissed you off 2 years ago, and you want to – I'm going to do everything I can to, like, run this to maximum efficiency. And then there's some leagues where it's like, 25% during the offseason. Like, I'll figure it out in season, you know, something along those lines. So – I'm with you. Like sometimes with the big portfolios, it almost gets too much. Where you're just like, God, this is monotonous. It's like I lose interest. I get bored.
Yeah, especially the waivers. Like you were saying, after the draft, it takes a while to do them and go through all of them. But honestly, that's like some of the most important time is doing that. If you have the time to commit to it,
yeah,
and pick up those, you know, like I've seen Jace McClellan and Keelan Robinson and all these other like guys who got drafted like still on my waivers. I'm like, shit, I'm gonna pick them up and you know, sometimes those guys hit, you know. A couple years ago is, you know, UDFAs. I liked coming out into the draft with Jaylen Warren, and he didn't get drafted. But I'm like, okay, I know who he is. He was undrafted. I'm going to pick him up a bunch and just kind of see what happens over the summer and just holding on to him. And training camp comes, and he starts getting buzz. And now look at Jaylen Warren. You can actually, you know, he's actually useful.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple of those UDFAs like Blake Watson. And
I was just going to bring him up. Yeah. Like, the early cycle, I wish I would have paid more attention and got some more Blake Watson put on my team. But thankfully, in a large portfolio with rookie drafts kind of spaced out here, you know, fifth round, 509 or whatever, I'm like, fuck it. Blake Watson. I'm not even going to deal with UDFA status. Like, screw the 18th share of Devin Leary that I'm going to have. Like, let me get some Blake Watson.
Yeah, there's, you know, in past years, there was people taking, like, you know, Thaddeus Moss in round three, Justin Ross in round three. Like, there's not a lot of that this year. Nobody's taking Frank Gore Jr. in round three this year. So, like, I think it's, one, has to do with how deep the draft is, and two, like, I think people have gotten a little smarter that, hey, I shouldn't be drafting this guy with a third round pick, and he should, if he's there in the fifth round, okay, sure, fourth round, whatever, but if he's, I'm not taking him in the third round, come on.
There's only been a couple egregious things I've seen, right? We talked about it on the ADP, looking at it, and you know, like the Brennan Rice truthers who are still taking him in the third round, like, what the fuck are you doing? There's better options out there. Yeah. Anybody who's out there taking Javon Baker over Jalen Polk, even the Patriots are like, nah, we good. We're going to wait a couple rounds before we take you. But most of those UDFA guys, you're right. I haven't seen them other than fifth round. Just, hey, fuck it. Like, there's nobody else really out there. Sure, shoot your shot. The only, like, egregious one that has been of lately is Kamani Vidal just, like, keeps fucking going up, man. Pretty soon he's going to be in the second round, I think. I think he's going to be there, Eric. And that's a guy who's a six-round running back. Like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
So it's that narrative, oh, the Chargers are going to run the ball a lot, and all they got's Gus Edwards and Dobbins, and that's it. So, I mean, I get it, but there comes a point where it's too rich, so I get it. And then, like, UDFA wide receivers, I usually stay away from. Yeah, those are, like, the longest of long shots. There's, like, one that I like is that Jalen Coker, who went to the Panthers.
Yeah, the small school guy.
Yeah, I've heard some good stuff on him. So, like, if I can get him for a buck or two, I'll take a shot. But those are very few and far between. I'm only taking running backs. I'm not taking any UDFA quarterbacks. I'm not taking any UDFA tight ends, besides for, like, a league that I should be taking, like, those types of players. So, I get it.
Yeah, if the NFL didn't draft you at tight end or quarterback, I'm good. And if they didn't draft you at wide receiver, I'm probably good on not having you. Like, you got to be an interesting case, but it's mostly reserved for running backs. Other than that, like, the waiver wire pickups for me have all been, you know, like the Joe Milton. Why not? The Jaheim Bell. Weird that I picked up both Patriots right off the bat, but Cody Schrader. Types, the Frank Gore types, like, those are the ones that I'm picking up.
Who was, like, 2 years ago the one quarterback the Eagles picked up? Not Tanner McKee, before him.
Oh, the kid out of Nevada.
Yeah.
Carson Strong.
I've never heard of him ever again.
Nope. Never heard another thing about him. Yeah. It's crazy with him. You remember he had, like, first-round NFL draft buzz there for a while. I was a big Carson Strong fan, but it turns out those knees were made of, you know.
Glass, yeah.
Yeah. Really cheap balsa wood.
Yes, exactly. All right, so this week on the show, we're going to go through one of our annual traditions, going to go through the running back depth charts for every single team and kind of tell you who we like, who to keep right now, some of the UDFAs that we were just talking about as well. One of our ship members gave me the idea, hey, you guys should do the running back show. So I thought, okay, yeah, that's cool. If people want to hear that, me and Mike breaking down the running backs, I can do that. So one of our favorite things to do. So with that, we will start it off with the Buffalo Bills. So obviously James Cook, running back. Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. So I think those three are probably going to make the team right now. Ty Johnson's an interesting one because I see him out there on a lot of waiver wires, but I think he's a guy that he's at least going to be the RB3 on the team and have a little bit of run. And if James Cook gets hurt, you know, I think it could be Ray Davis and Ty Johnson that take over. So Ty Johnson's a guy that I'll pick up for free right now and just see what happens there. They also have Darrington Evans, who's bounced around from about 37 different teams, and Frank Gore Jr., who we talked about a little bit before. I'm taking a little bit of Frank Gore if he falls to waivers, but I do see some people taking him in round five in my drafts too.
Yeah, I see him going round five too. Obviously, everybody's going to be interested in James Cook. My biggest one is Ray Davis. Like, I think he has a role. I know it's listed as Ty Johnson right now, but I think Ray Davis is the de facto number two for sure.
I agree, yeah.
Ty Johnson, I've been, like, cooler on, and I've been, like, more willing to drop him if I needed a roster spot, but that's still somebody I think you should be interested in because I think he does probably make the team over Frank Gore and definitely Darrington Evans. No offense, Darrington. But, yeah, if you haven't stuck on yet, yeah, probably ain't happen.
Yeah. Well, with Ty Johnson, yeah, I've had to drop him in a couple spots too, but that's just because I think I'm picking up better players, better bets. But if there's, you know, my waivers are really, really just depleted, I'm going to take a shot at Ty Johnson because he could be the RB3 on Buffalo and one injury away from being in a meaningful rotation with either Ray Davis or James Cook. So
yep.
I think that's definitely somebody you should take a look at. All right, now on to the Miami Dolphins, another interesting one. So Raheem Mostert, Devin Achane, Jalen Wright, I think those three are locks. Salvin Ahmed, I've dropped him quite a bit in a lot of my leagues. I don't have as much of him anymore. Still really like the player. If he does end up getting cut, I'm sure he could go somewhere else, and I'll be interested to see where he lands. And if he lands in a good spot, I'll pick him back up. But as of right now, I think he's the fifth running back because Jeff Wilson Jr. is still here too. I'll go ahead and just drop Ahmed right now in all my leagues. Wilson Jr. I'll hold on to as well just because Mostert and Achane still do get banged up quite a bit. And Jeff Wilson Jr. could easily be a starter if, you know, Mostert and Achane miss time. Wilson Jr. can step right in there over Jalen Wright and be the reliable starter because he knows the system and knows the plays. So I still will hold on to Wilson Jr. I get it if people do drop him because this depth chart is just full. But that's a guy I'll still hold on to. Chris Brooks is another guy that they have as well, a UDFA from last year. A lot of people liked him. I know Miami liked him. They kept him on the 53-man roster. Then sent him down to the practice squad. He was inactive and active at different times last year, so it's a guy they really like, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep five running backs again, but we'll see. Plus a fullback, too, because they have Alec Ingold.
Big part of their offense, too, having that fullback. Yeah. So you hit the big three. You want all the big three. And then next most likely for me to keep, but I'm willing to drop him if I need spot, kind of like Ty Johnson, is Jeff Wilson. And then the other two guys, like, I don't know, if I got 35, 40-man rosters and I got enough room and there's nobody else out there, if you wanted to pick them up just because they're a running back who may have an opportunity, that's probably the best I could, like, paint a rosy scenario for them. Yeah. Otherwise, like, all the Chris Brooks that I had, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a free roster spot. We'll just cut him.
Yeah, I pretty much cut him any place I had him. Ahmed, same thing. Even in super deep leagues, I just cut Ahmed because I think it's going to be very, very uphill sledding for him. He's going to have like a 5% chance of making the team, even though they re-signed him this offseason. I think adding Jalen Wright kind of put the nail in the coffin on him for that one.
Yeah, we're good. We liked you so much that we drafted another guy this year.
Exactly. All right, on to the New England Patriots. So, obviously, Ramondre Stevenson, still the starter. They signed Antonio Gibson this offseason. Still have six-rounder Kevin Harris from 2022, Jamichael Hasty. And then they picked up two college free agents, Deshaun Fenwick and Terrell Jennings. So, Stevenson and Gibson are locks on this team. Kevin Harris or Jamichael Hasty. That one's a kind of a tough one. I would lean Harris, but you know, Hasty can do a little bit more, I think. So that one's literally a coin flip. I don't have much of either of them, and maybe like one or two shares across all my leagues. And I've seen them on waivers quite a bit too. So it's not like these guys are must-haves. Fenwick and Jennings, I honestly don't know much about either of them, and I haven't picked them up anywhere yet.
I had Fenwick on a lot of C2C rosters and then got unseated by Martinez, so that's how that rolls. Kevin Harris and Jermichael Hasty, I think that's the interesting one. I'm only going to pick one of them, and if I got to pick one, I think Kevin Harris is probably more talented, but Jermichael Hasty plays special teams, so maybe that gets him onto the team over Kevin Harris, and then we never get to see actual Kevin Harris. I think we had like a game or a half a game or like a quarter. I don't know. We had some moment of Kevin Harris at least, so that was all we get, I guess.
Yeah. Just kind of, I did the New England Patriots team preview the other day, and just kind of looking at their offensive line, it's okay, but it's still like pretty average. I think they were 20th in the league last year.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So I don't know how good their running game is going to be this year. I think one of the big winners from the draft that we never really talked about was kind of Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, yeah, they brought Gibson in, and Gibson's going to at least be the other committee back here, but they really didn't bring in any running backs to really challenge Stevenson at all. So I think if Stevenson's healthy, you know, this could be another, you know, close to 1,000-yard back. Hopefully he can get his, you know, 30, 40 catches he had a couple years ago. So I think Stevenson was a big winner from the draft.
I think he was too. And his only competition is Gibson. But I sneakily am still holding on hope for Gibson, which if mm-hmm. Gibson does hit, then that really shoots Ramondre in the foot, because he's going to get a lot of the receiving work. Like, I don't, if I'm drawing up an offense and like, who do I want to be the receiving back? It's Gibson over Stevenson, even though we've seen Stevenson do it. But one of them runs a 4.3. The other one's kind of slow.
Right. No, I picked up a bunch of Gibson in the offseason just because I knew he was a free agent. He was going to go somewhere probably better than Washington. He did. He landed here with New England, where they have nobody but Stevenson. So I am interested to see how Gibson fits in this offense and how they use him, and see if he can get back to it. So I like to pick up there. On to the New York Jets now. So another backfield that's loaded. So Breece Hall, Izzy Abanikanda from last year, and then they drafted Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. Braylon Allen in the fourth, Isaiah Davis in the fifth. They have Xavien Valade, college free agent from last year, and they picked up Marquise Stepp this year as a college free agent as well. Don't have any Valade or Stepp, so I'm not interested in them, but obviously, Breece Hall is a stud. Abanikanda, Braylon Allen, I'm still holding on to those guys for sure. And Isaiah Davis, I've seen him go in the fifth round, sometimes undrafted in some of my leagues, and I'll pick him up too because he had a hell of a college career too. It wouldn't shock me if he outplayed Braylon Allen and he was the backup running back here. Is it likely? No. I probably would still choose Braylon Allen, but it wouldn't shock me if Isaiah Davis outplayed Braylon Allen at some point.
I have no idea why they just keep drafting running back after running back every single year, but
they must have had two high grades on both of them and just were going crazy. Best player available or something. That's the only thing I can think of.
I'm keeping all four of the big guys.
And oh, yeah.
The other two, same. Just no interest. Like,
yeah. Good. That is definitely going to be one of the intriguing training camp battles and kind of read about this offseason, is to see who's going to be the backup to Breece Hall, because it literally could be any of those three.
Yep, very well could be. Very well could be. And Braylon Allen has been a hell of a value in drafts, sometimes in the fourth round. So, yeah. Jesus.
And this team really upgraded their offensive line in the offseason. They got two guys from Baltimore that came over. Obviously, they signed Tyron Smith. If he can stay healthy, they drafted Fashanu in the first. So they've really reinforced this offensive line quite a bit. So it's going to be go from like 31st in the league to hopefully at least in the top 16 half of the league. So excited to see what the Jets offensive line can do.
They got a physical receiver in Malachi Corley, you know, is going to block his ass off. And both their tight ends, Ruckert and Tyler Conklin, plus blockers too. So they can run the football. So anybody who has the potential to take over a Breece Hall role, if barring an injury, prayers for that not happening. But if it happened, holy shit. That's, I want a piece of that running back room.
And they got the comeback player of the year and MVP for the 2024 season at quarterback.
See, we don't even need to do the Super Bowl preview show or prediction show. I already know what Eric's is going to be.
All right, on to the Baltimore Ravens now. So another interesting backfield. Derrick Henry, obviously, they brought in from Tennessee. Justice Hill, they gave a decent-sized deal to, I thought, this offseason to stay around. Dobbins and Edwards both left, so Justice Hill's the only one left there. Rasheen Ali, they drafted in the fifth round that they've talked up pretty highly as well. I think he's got a shot to maybe outproduce Justice Hill. Keaton Mitchell coming off a really, really bad injury, but he's still on the team, really explosive player. And then they have Owen Wright and Chris Collier, two college free agents from last year. I think Owen Wright's kind of like a fullback type. I think these top four, I'm going to keep, you know, Henry, Justice Hill, Ali, and Keaton Mitchell. I think that's pretty easy for the four to keep.
I'm okay cutting Justice Hill, too. I had to look up his contract. This is the last year of his deal. So, last year of his current deal. So, they can get out for
So
that's like $500,000 in dead cap.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was, it gave him a decent-sized deal, but maybe not.
I mean, you're going to keep him around, but I put him in like that Ty Johnson bucket where I really think it's Ali's to lose, and then Keaton Mitchell showed enough flashes if he can come back from that injury. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, Justice Hill, other than Keaton Mitchell from last year, is the only one who knows the offense. So I think Justice Hill has a pretty secure role on this team. I don't think they're going to cut him unless he's absolutely dog shit.
Which he has been in the past.
Yes.
Chris Collier is kind of an interesting one to pick up. Just as a dart. So, highly productive. He was highly productive now, albeit it's at a school nobody's ever heard of. So, Lock Haven University, anybody?
Honestly, I had never heard of him, so that's why.
There you go. Division II. Division II school. But put up really, really, really good numbers. So, just somebody I think he's got a little bit of talent and just kind of that dart throw. Kind of similar when we get to the Giants. We'll talk about another guy there that nobody's ever really heard of that you might want to just star, you know. Okay. Hey, I got room or I got one spot. Throw him on there, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens to these guys that are undrafted and they start making noise in camp. You know, you look at a Phillip Lindsay, Jaylen Warren, just as a couple examples, and these guys are undrafted and make some noise and end up becoming something in the NFL and something useful for fantasy. So definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yep.
On to the Bengals now. So obviously Zach Moss and Chase Brown are going to be the 1-2 punch there. Travion Williams, Chris Evans, like those guys are on every waiver wire that I've seen, and they've been in the league for God knows how many years now and have never done anything, so I'm not picking them up. They do have two college free agents. They brought in Noah Kane, the former Penn State running back, and then he got injured and then went to LSU and did absolutely nothing, so he's there. And then Elijah Collins as well. I guess you're the same kind of Moss and Brown, and that's probably it.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest in Travion Williams or Chris Evans. When we did this show last year, I kind of have a rule: if you've like 2-3 years and you haven't ever done anything, like I'm good. You're probably never doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like you're just on there for a role. Noah Kane, I don't have any interest in, but Elijah Collins, I'll put in that Collier bucket. So Elijah Collins was stuck behind Ollie Gordon, who's like an all-world everything running back at Oklahoma State, you know, all the touches. But Collins has got good size and decent enough speed. So somebody where if you're looking for possibly that like UDFA guy who might show some juice and definitely could unseat Travion or Chris Evans easily, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, they're the third guy for Zach Evans, who doesn't really have the juice. Chase Brown definitely has the juice, but has some injury concerns with him as well. I'm like, hey, in a Bengals offense, any RB on a 53, I don't mind this Elijah Collins if he can make the team.
Cool. Yeah, that's definitely one I will have to go back and put some more claims in for him for sure. All right, on to Cleveland now. So obviously Nick Chubb, kind of from everything I've read and heard, he's definitely going to probably be put on the PUP list to start the year, miss the first 6 weeks. And then after that, we'll kind of see what happens. He could even miss a little bit more time than that. But I would expect Chubb to at least miss the first six games. Jerome Ford still there. Deontay Foreman they brought in as well. So Foreman I've seen dropped in like maybe one or two leagues. And I'm going to pick him up right away. Because I think Deontay Foreman for the first half of the season, I think Deontay Foreman could be the lead guy here. Good. Jerome Ford was decent when he played last year, but I think Foreman is kind of more what they want to do. It's like kind of like with what Chubb did, like power running. Foreman has shown 2 years, 3 years in a row now that he can get the job done as a starter. So I think Deontay Foreman's a very sneaky pickup right now. If you're doing any of the underdog best ball drafts, you can get him in the last round, like every draft. I'll just press the button on Foreman and hope he's the Cleveland Browns starting running back for the first half of the season at least. So I like him. Nyheim Hines, I think this is kind of more of a special teams play because they've had, multiple guys back there returning kicks and all that, and it just hasn't worked out. So I think Nyheim Hines is one of the better kick returners in the league. Pick him up, see what he can do there. So I think that's going to be more his role. Pierre Strong Jr. still there. I've seen him drop quite a bit recently, so I think Pierre Strong Jr. you can go ahead and cut. John Kelly Jr., he's been there forever. He's on every waiver wire. And then Aiden Robbins, a college free agent that they picked up from BYU. Don't know too much about him, but I don't see him making this team.
Now, Nick Chubb, you hit on. I'm a little higher on Jerome Ford versus Deontay Foreman just because I thought Ford actually had some really good moments last year, like some really, really positive stuff, and did show the juice. So if I had to pick between them, it's not like Jerome Ford costs a whole lot either. He's pretty dirt cheap in dynasty formats. Nyheim Hines, almost no interest, even in these kick return leagues Koopa was talking about. Mm-hmm. Just because they have other kick returners on the roster and they brought like other people in to do it. Jamari Thrash, who they just drafted. Pierre Strong returned some kicks for him. They signed Jalen Darden at wide receiver, who's a really good kick returner in his own right, to a reserve futures contract. And then James Prochet has done it. Yep. So I think Nyheim Hines might actually be a guy who just ends up getting cut because I don't really see a role at all. So I'm good just not rostering him at all. And I don't know anything. John Kelly's terrible. And I don't know anything about the UDFA guy. But if I had to keep him, I'm keeping Chubb, Ford, Deontay Foreman, and maybe Pierre Strong in kick return leagues. But that's a guy you could see in training camp or whatever, he's not returning kicks anymore, then ship his ass out.
Yeah, they have Hines up here is listed as the starting kick returner and punt returner. So we'll see how things work out there for sure between those guys. All right, on to now the Pittsburgh Steelers. So running back Najee Harris, running back Jaylen Warren, Cordarrelle Patterson they brought in from Atlanta. So I think those three are pretty safe. Aaron Champkin, not interested in him. And then Daywon Edwards from Georgia. I've been putting in a couple claims on him just in case. They do keep four running backs. I could see him making the roster, kind of be the factor of the third running backs. I don't know. I think they're going to kind of use Patterson more as a, I don't want to say gadget player, but scheme touches for him. I don't think he's going to be like the full-time running back like with Najee and Warren in front of him.
I think he's definitely making the roster with the new kick return rules. Definitely he's going to be back there. So he's making the roster. So, yeah, I'm with you, though. If I got to throw a dart on him, Daywon Edwards is a pretty good one just to kind of be that rotational third running back at the end of the day. Right.
Kind of shocking that both Georgia running backs went undrafted, too.
It happens, man. Sometimes they all cannibalize each other, and you never really know what to make out of that backfield. I mean, last year was supposed to be Branson Robinson's year, and then he had that horrific knee injury. So
that's true.
Really stunk that we didn't get to see him. They had that hell of a freshman. The other Robinson was a true freshman. You got to see a little bit of him in season. But Georgia, it seems like for the last, 5 years, it's just this clusterfuck at running back.
Yeah, like they have a couple guys that obviously hit big in the league. And then there's also the couple, there's this Elijah Holyfields, the day one Edwards, the Kendall Miltons that don't make it. So there's just so
many guys. Can you guys just pick a running back for us, just so we know? Just try it out for us, Georgia.
All right. On to now the Houston Texans. So obviously Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, who they've been talking up this offseason. I think he's still going to get a chance there to be the backup. The third running back, though, is wide open. So Dare Ogunwale, pretty much a special teams player for them. He's still on the team. Jawar Jordan, who they drafted in the sixth round out of Louisville, the other Louisville running back with Isaac Arendo. J.J. Taylor, former Patriots running back, is there. Kind of comes over with Casario. Casario knows him from the New England days. And then British Brooks, the running back from North Carolina that they got as a undrafted free agent. So obviously Mixon and Pierce are pretty much ownable. Ogunwale is on every waiver wire. Jawar Jordan, I've seen either he gets drafted in like a late draft, like fifth round, or he's on waivers. J.J. Taylor's on every waivers, and so is British Brooks. What do you think about Jordan? Is that somebody that you'll take a shot on at all?
None. Okay. I got this rule I play with. No sub-90 speed score guys, and Jawar Jordan fits that category. He's small, he's slow, he sucks. So he hits the trifecta for me of like, nah, I'm good.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It really feels like, though, aren't they going to make a move or something? You know, when we get all those cut downs and practice squad and all that stuff, doesn't it feel like they're picking somebody up of interest that we're going to talk about here that's going to get cut? And you're like, okay, like, that's the third guy for Houston.
Yeah, this would be a perfect spot for Salvin Ahmed to end up. You know, something like that, be their third guy. So I agree with that. And then the triple S, small sucks and what was
slow.
The other one?
Slow.
Small sucks and slow. Yep.
Yeah.
That's Jawar Jordan.
British Brooks never really did anything. He had like a couple moments at UNC, but never actually made a splash at all. So
yeah, he was kind of buried there. So J.J. Taylor's always been interesting, but he's been on like either the last guy on the depth chart or on a practice squad for like 13 years, it seems like. So he's probably...
Yeah, I'm good. Put him in that Chris Evans bucket of not happening.
Yeah. All right, on to Indianapolis. So another interesting backfield that didn't add anybody, but I still think it's really intriguing. So Jonathan Taylor is the starter. Right now listed as the backup is Evan Hull, their 2023 fifth-round pick. I think that's a guy you can get thrown into trades really easy. I don't think people realize, hey, Evan Hull's the backup here. So that's one that I have picked up quite a bit, or I've gotten thrown into some trades or stuff like that. They also have Tyler Goodson, your Iowa guy, still there. Trey Sermon as well. Xavier Scott, a college free agent from last year. And they brought in Trent Penix, a running back from NC State as a UDFA this year as well. So Taylor and Hull, obviously, I'm holding on to. Goodson and Sermon, I still have like a smattering of both of those guys on some teams, but I would say I've probably cut most of them so far.
Yeah, I've probably cut most of them too, but there's a few like I'll hold on to just because this is only going, we know too deep. I think it is Taylor and then it's Hull. No question about it. And then the third one is intriguing, like which one's going to win out and kind of be that guy between Goodson and Sermon. And both of them flashed last year after being written off for dead. So, you know, I probably want a little bit of exposure to each one, 50-50. And you can do it in multiple leagues, right? Like a lot of these guys are on waivers, to be completely honest. If you go check your league, I bet Goodson or Trey Sermon's just chilling out there. Yeah, just go league by league. pick one up here and pick the other guy up here. And you're going to find out in training camp, but you can just kind of mark this in pencil as a potential free roster spot. Or, hey, I got the third running back on the Colts with Jonathan Taylor, who can get banged up, and Evan Hull's coming off an injury himself. So not the worst thing to have in this offense.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. Like, whoever wins the third RB job here, Goodson or Sermon, like, they're going to be rosterable in all of our leagues. So that's somebody I'm definitely going to be interested in for sure. All right, on to Jacksonville now. So obviously Travis Etienne Jr. Is the starter there. D'Ernest Johnson is the 2. Tank Bigsby is the 3. Keelan Robinson, who they drafted in the 5th round, is there. And then Lorenzo Lingard, a running back from Akron that they got, and UDFAs. And then also Jalen Jackson, a running back from Villanova, a UDFA as well. Don't know much about the UDFAs, not really interested in them. Keelan Robinson, I've seen pretty much go undrafted quite a bit for a 5th-round pick. I'll pick him up for free off of waiver wires and see what happens. I liked him coming into the draft. Like, he's kind of like a jack-of-all-trades. He can do special teams, good pass catcher, running the ball. Like, he's not, like, you know, a super stud or anything, but he can at least get the job done a little bit if he had to. So I think he's kind of like a jack-of-all-trades that I like. But I could see them keeping all 4 of these guys, Etienne, D'Ernest Johnson, Bigsby, and Robinson.
Yeah, Keelan Robinson's an interesting one, just where you fall. If you go look at his stats, like, he never really did anything.
No.
He's definitely making the team, and they spent the capital on him for a reason, and it's not necessarily for running back, it's for kick returning, because he is dynamic as shit. So, the other excuse, though, if you wanted to make, like, what makes him interesting, and while I will throw darts at him too, Eric, like, I'm probably not drafting him in rookie drafts, other than maybe, like, a late 5th, but I'll pick him up off of, is the draft capital. And then think about, this guy is just perennially stuck behind extreme talent for his entire career. And yet still managed to carve out enough of a role on offense, not just returning, where he would get some manufactured touches and come in and have some spell roles. But, you know, you sit behind Bijan and Roshan, and then this year it's, you know, this year's Jonathan Brooks. And then they already had Jaden Blue on the team who did show up, and Cedric Baxter, a highly touted freshman, comes in. It's like Keelan Robinson is just perennial, like, fuck, man. Yeah. Can you guys stop recruiting all these really awesome guys so I can get on the field a little bit more? But he's interesting. And I think after Etienne and Tank Bigsby, Keelan Robinson is the next guy in this Jaguars backfield that I want to own, and probably the last one. No, I'm good on D'Ernest Johnson at this point. Like, we're good.
I mean, he was better than Tank Bigsby last year by a lot, D'Ernest Johnson. So I think there's a shot he's the backup right now. So, and I've seen him on waiver wires a shit ton. So D'Ernest is a guy I will definitely roster, and I still rostering quite a bit of, until Tank Bigsby proves that he's better than him, and he hasn't yet.
He's really good at tipping passes, so T-Law can get picked off. Watched him do that at least twice last year. I thought that was a record. He's on that Kadarius Toney bullshit.
He had like a 40-yard touchdown catch, I remember, too. That was pretty nice.
Oh, he actually caught a ball?
Yeah, he did.
That one went right over my head. I didn't even see that happen.
All right, another interesting backfield, Tennessee Titans. So obviously they brought in Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears. Those guys are going to be the main 2. Hassan Haskins is still there. Who knows what's going to happen with him with his legal bullshit. What's going to happen there with him. Julius Chestnut still on the team. And they brought in 2 college free agents, both who we both like. And Dylan Johnson, I know we are both big fans of. He's like a big fucking battering ram, 217-pound running back, just runs straight ahead and can get those tough yards. So I think there's a shot he could sneak onto this team and, like, be Hassan Haskins without the legal troubles. And then Jabari Small from Tennessee, smaller back at 198, but he's a he can fly a little bit.
Yeah, I think when I look at this one, obviously you want Pollard, you want Spears. No interest in Haskins, no interest in Julius Chestnut. Like, that's the same thing. It hasn't happened for you yet. It ain't ever fucking happened. Actually, Eric, I want all 4 backs, and I'm going to keep a lot of Dylan Johnson and Jabari Small, too.
Yeah.
I don't think Tajay Spears or Tony Pollard are the beacons of health, right? Mm-hmm. So And I really think both UDFAs have a real shot to make this roster and end up somewhere on this depth chart. So those are guys that I'm going to, because I think they're both better than Haskins and Chestnut. Both of them. Cool.
All right, on to the Denver Broncos now. Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, Audric Estime, who they took in the fifth round. Jalen McLaughlin, the UDFA from last year who made a big splash. Tyler Beatty is still on the team. And then Blake Watson, who we talked about earlier. So a lot of guys here, you know, with, you know, Peyton in the past, he has kept four or five running backs. So I wouldn't be shocked if he did. I still like Javonte. This is going to be his first full off season where he's not, you know, rehabbing that major knee injury. Like, so hopefully we see Javonte Williams kind of get back a, you know, a little bit more speed, a little bit more agility and all that. Still really young. I still really like the player. Just, you know, it's his second year coming off of that major injury. So I think he's going to bounce back a little bit. Maybe he doesn't get back to that. You know, at one point, God, he was like a top five dynasty asset at running back there. But we'll see what happens. Perine, I think he's a guy who could get cut if these younger guys prove out that they could play and they could unseat Samaje Perine. But Perine's like a, you know, just that good veteran running back. He can do everything. He's a really good pass protector. He's good on third downs. So the probability he gets cut is, you know, maybe what, 20%, but there is a possibility where it does happen. Estime, obviously they spent the capital on him. He's going to make the team. McLaughlin is somebody that Sean Payton really, really likes. Beatty's probably going to get cut or go to the practice squad. And Blake Watson, probably my favorite UDFA running back this offseason to draft and take. So I thought he was a guy who should have got drafted that didn't. And I think he's got a good shot to maybe make this team if they keep five running backs or four if they cut Perine.
I'm rostering five of them. Not Tyler Beatty, though. Yeah. Not Tyler Beatty. But I'll roster Blake Watson. Audric Estime, like, I'm not a big fan just because he's so goddamn slow. So slow. Like, his tape is really good. But I it's hard for me to, like, do a projection or one-for-one or give you a player comp with somebody who's that fucking slow at running back at that size, right? I want to do LeGarrette Blount, but Blount was 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
It's tough for me. And I do see people hyping him up that he's going to take Javonte's job. You know, I'm not ruling it out completely, but I doubt it. I doubt it. But I'm with you. The Perine thing is interesting because they really could cut him. Mm-hmm. They really could cut him. Like, I'll still roster him until they actually cut him, because if he gets in there and he's still trusted and, you know, he's getting that third down passing work, like, I'm going to want that with Bo Nix at quarterback doing a lot of checkdowns. Like, give me that all day. But if he gets cut, holy shit, Jaleel McLaughlin, Blake Watson, like, sign me up for the wheels up for one of these two to really explode in that pass-catching role.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, on to the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. So Isaiah Pacheco, obviously the starter. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they brought back this offseason. This is a weird depth chart. So Michael Perine still there. Generic Prince from last year, the Prince that was promised that never really promised anything and sucked. Luis Riis-Zamnit, the rugby player, I think it was, that they signed this offseason. Yep. Keontae Ingram, he was on Arizona last year, came from USC. Guy that I really liked. He just never really connected there with Arizona. Kansas City picked him up there at the end of last year. Hassan Hall was a UDFA from last year. The Browns had never made the team. Amani Bailey is a guy. He started at TCU last year. Really good, like, long speed. Like, he's got the, you know, you give him a crease and he's hitting it. So that's a guy I'm interested in. And then Carson Steele was a running back at UCLA. Was never really impressive to me. I had him, like, in my 30s for running back. So I was never really impressed with him. But I think, like, Pacheco, CEH are definitely two I want to carry. After that, man, it is seriously wide open for the third, fourth running back on this team.
Yeah. Wheels up for Isaiah Pacheco, man. If you're a Pacheco owner, you got to feel fucking fantastic about this draft and what they've done. An interesting thing, I don't know, but it kind of feels like maybe they bring back Jerick McKinnon, too, just to really fuck us hard. Which, if they do, then I'm rostering Jerick McKinnon for sure. But Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, those guys, yes, I agree with you, locks. And then I'm really only going to take shots on Denerick Prince and Amani Bailey, and the rest of the guys, like, I'm good on. Maybe that rugby player just for shits and giggles, but that's about it.
Yeah, I still have, like, maybe one or two Ingrams, one or two Princes. I haven't gotten too much Amani Bailey yet. I have dropped a lot of my McKinnons just because I need the roster spot, to be honest. So if he does come back, that might kill me a little bit, but he's also going to be 30 years old with an injury history. So it's like I'm not like missing a stud here.
It's not the worst thing to cut him if you have to, but yeah. I'm just throwing it out. It does kind of feel like maybe when we get into, you know, the last week or two of training camp, they bring him back and like, hey, listen, yeah. You know Patrick Mahomes, you know the offense. These young guys all sucked, every one of them. They're all fucking terrible. It's just Clyde and it's just Pacheco, and we need you back desperately.
Yeah, it's really going to be a battle to see who the third running back is, and I couldn't even tell you who the favorite would be, to be honest.
Yeah.
Do you have a guy who you think would be the favorite?
Okay. No. Just close your eyes and pick one.
Close your eyes and pick one. Got it. Okay. All right, on to the Raiders now. So Zamir White, another one of the big winners from the draft. Alexander Mattison signed here this offseason. I was listening to a podcast that talked about how fucking awful Mattison was last year analytically. So maybe he's kind of cooked. So Zamir White owners could love that, hearing that. Amir Abdullah is still here. That's more of a, you know, probably special teams type player, specialty catch some passes type player. Dylan Lobb, which I think is a better version of Amir Abdullah at this point. Really good receiver. He can split him out wide as a running back, and he can run wide receiver routes. So Dylan Lobb is a guy that I'll take in my rookie drafts, round 4, round 5, or pick him up off of waivers if he makes it that far. Britton Brown, 2022 seventh round pick, hasn't really done much, been injured. Sincere McCormick, same thing. Not really interested in either of those guys, but I will roster White, Mattison if I still have him. You're not going to get anything for him. And then Dylan Lobb.
Yeah, White, big winner, but still I want people to be cautious.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's right. Keep trade cuts. I already pushed him up to RB21, which is like, what the fuck? Stop. I like it. But just be cautious, okay? Because this could go sour in a hurry. We don't know if there's another trade, somebody gets brought in, whatever. And the interesting thing is, I agree with you. I think Alexander Mattison might be cooked. I wasn't a big fan of where he was going last year and how much he had to pay for him. And I'm glad I avoided all those landmines. But what if, like, this year is the bounce back for Alexander Mattison just to, like, fucking bury Zamir White shares and just piss people off? But Dylan Lobby is the only other one out of this backfield. I have no interest in Abdullah, Britton Brown, or McCormick at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think people need to think about, too, during the season, like, if Zamir White's doing pretty good and there's ever a point where you can get a playoff team's first-round pick or you can get a high second-round pick for him, actually any second-round pick at that, to be even frank, I would just take it for Zamir White because there's, like, a possibility next year, like we're sitting in the draft and, oh, the Raiders want Rocket Sanders or Ollie Gordon or whoever, you know, the running back is next year. Like that's definitely a team that wants to run the ball and they could easily upgrade over Zamir White. But I think Zamir White is set up for one really good season here and just kind of ride it out. But if you are a team that's, you know, 6th seed, 7th seed, or you're down to the bottom, just sell him for, you know, if I can get a high second round pick, because the odds are he probably gets replaced sooner rather than later.
I just don't want to see people get burnt by getting too far over their skis, right? He's already ranked above Henry, Mixon, Stevenson, Najee, Alvin Kamara. Like,
wow. Over Najee is crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Najee has run for 3,000 yards 3 straight years in a row. Zamir White had, I don't even
And he just got Dodge. Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
He just got Arthur Smith, so.
Yeah. Najee is definitely one of the ones I think is super underrated right now just because of his situation.
Yeah.
All right, on to the Chargers now. So an interesting backfield. So they have J.K. Dobbins listed as a starter. If that happens, that will be a miracle. Gus Edwards, who I think is really going to be the starter. Kamani Vidal, the man with the rocket ship on his back right now. Isaiah Spiller. Elijah Dotson, the college free agent from last year. And then Jarrett Patterson, who they picked up from Washington, is on this team as well. So I think Dobbins, you still got to carry him if you still have him for some reason. Gus Edwards is probably going to get a lot of the work here. Vidal, still interested in him. If I can get him in the third round, I'll take some shots at him for sure. Isaiah Spiller, I'll see what happens just because this team does like to run the ball. Maybe this is the spot where he, you know, finds his rhythm or something. So I've seen him cut, though, a few times as well, so I can understand that. Dotson and Patterson, probably not carrying on to him, but I'll just keep him as a, a star on those guys just to see what they do in training camp. Do they move up this depth chart because, you know, with a new regime, maybe these guys hit. You never know.
JK seems like a long shot. I know people are already projecting him to lead the backfield in touches and yards. Good luck with that one. Gus, probably the most interesting back that I want to roster. Like, that would be the one if I had to pick one, would be him. And then Kamani Vidal, and then J.K. Dobbins, and then the rest of them. I'm good. I'm good cutting Spiller, Dotson, Patterson. Dotson's a little bit interesting, and I'll probably leave him as like a starred player just because he did show some juice last year. And it, like you said, it is a new regime, so I don't know how it's going to shake out, right? Maybe he gets in and impresses, and with that juice that he showed last year, maybe that carries over to this year, and he actually finds himself in a role. Like, everything we project Kamani Vidal to have, it's like, oh, fuck, it was actually Elijah Dotson. Who knew?
Yeah, I agree. So I'll keep an eye on
Patterson. Patterson's the 3S guy, though, so you don't want to be the 3S guy. Small, slow, and sucks.
That is true. All right, on to the NFC now and Dallas. So very interesting backfield as well. Ezekiel Elliott, they just brought back. Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn. I think those three are pretty safe. Royce Freeman, I've picked up a couple shares of just in case, like, maybe Royce Freeman ends up being the starter here. I don't think it's probably like a 10% chance, but there's at least a chance. Malik Davis, he played in 2022, didn't play really at all last year, so it kind of makes me think he's not as good as these other guys. So he's on every waiver wire. Snoop Connor has been terrible since he came into the league. And then Nathaniel Pete, who they brought in from Missouri as a UDFA, I don't have any of him. And I'm guessing he was behind Schrader, so he must not have been that great.
Yeah, I'd list them out in order of me wanting them on my team as Zeke, Dottle, Royce Freeman, and then Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Deuce Vaughn kind of feels like that gadget player, but the rest of the guys, I don't care about Malik Davis, Duke Connor, Nathaniel Pete at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I figured last year we would have maybe saw a little bit of Deuce Vaughn, but we really didn't see anything.
Didn't really see much of him at all, right?
Yeah, hopefully he shows a little bit of something this year. I have, like, very minimal shares, but we'll see.
Royce Freeman did have some, like, really good moments last year in L.A. with the Rams while Kyron was out. So he did show at least he's not a complete just one-off shitter that we only got to see that rookie year training camp from, right?
And this wasn't
his career highlights, at least.
And this was Dowdle's first year of staying fully healthy for the full year.
Yep.
Every year before that, he's like had like three season-ending injuries. So I'm not banking on him like lasting a full season again.
And so much for all those people touting Malik Davis, you know, this time last year, too. Dowdle fucking buried him, and you never heard a thing for Malik Davis.
Yeah, no, I was on the Malik Davis train. I liked Malik Davis better, but I missed on that one for sure.
It happens. It happens, man.
Yep.
Listen, the Zeke signing was just, like, gross all around, except for the teams you owned Zeke in.
Yeah, pretty much.
All my Rico Dowdle teams where I did already have Zeke, I'm going, fuck, damn it.
I mean, if you're on the clock in a draft and Like, I would be okay offering up a third rounder if there's nobody there you like for Zeke. Like, go to that manager. Here, you want my 309 for Zeke? I bet you can get it done. So
it'd be tough for me because there's a lot of running backs on here that we're going to get to on some of these other depth charts that go in the late third where I'm like, they're younger with a little more juice, maybe.
I get it. All right, on to the Giants now. So Devin Singletary is there. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of a team with a running back on there who goes in the third round of your rookie drafts.
Yep. Devin Singletary is the starter right now. I bet he probably has the starter role most of the season this year. Eric Gray, who they've been kind of talking up this offseason as well. Tyrone Tracy, who they brought in the fifth round. A do-it-all gadget player, could do kind of like Ty Montgomery stuff, but probably a better running back than receiver. Gary Brightwell, if that guy makes the team again, like, he's got the pictures of the owner or something somewhere. I don't know how this guy's made the team 4 years in a row. Jay Sean Corbin, a college free agent from a couple years ago, that we kind of liked, but he's just never really done anything. And then Dante Miller, a college free agent this year from South Carolina. I would say Singletary, Gray, and Tracy are probably the only ones I'm interested in.
I lost a lot of interest in Eric Gray when we were diving in and I was doing an episode with Adam about speed scores and running backs. Mm. To find out that Eric Gray is actually that fucking slow in his speed score sub 90 really just killed all the momentum I had. Because I was like you, Eric. I had a lot of Eric Gray and I was like, ah, fuck it. You know, it's just Devin Singletary. To find out that that's probably a really bad bet really just put a damper on it. So I'm all Singletary, I'm all Tyrone Tracy, and then I'll shoot my shot on some Dante Miller, just kind of the unknown here. And then the rest of them I'm good just cutting and avoiding unless training camp tells me differently.
Is Tracy probably one of your most owned running backs? Yes,
it's going to be, man. Former Iowa player, running back, that fast, that athletic, who converts to wide receiver or converts from wide receiver. And his advanced analytics are actually really good. Like, go look at his missed tackles force, yards after contact per attempt, breakaway rate. For a guy just learning how to play running back, you're like, fuck, he seemed like a natural. But it makes sense because at Iowa we had Spencer Petras and he couldn't throw the ball down the field. So we just threw like Malachi Coley routes to him all the time, screens and jet sweeps and that kind of shit. So he was basically a running back, a glorified running back at Iowa. So I guess the transition was pretty easy for him.
Yeah, and I saw a recent interview quote from him that about he said at receiver he was just average, he was nothing great, but switching to running back is what really made him like a NFL draft eligible player.
Definitely.
So he was happy about that. So it was nice to see that, like, he realizes that.
And he doesn't have a shit ton of Devin Singletary was good in a Houston Texans offense last year that really surprised people and was one of the upper echelon offenses run by Bobby Slowick. And now he goes to the Giants with a terrible fucking offensive line and, like, almost no talent whatsoever. And it's like, you could see a scenario where Devin Singletary can't even get on the field because they're down by 30 and they're just going to throw dump offs to Tyrone Tracy all game.
Yep, I can see that. All right, on to your Philadelphia Eagles. So obviously Saquon is there. He's the super stud. Gainwell and Will Shipley, who they drafted in the fourth round. I think those are your three locks. Lou Nichols, the running back from Central Michigan last year, a lot of people liked, has never done anything. Tyrion Davis-Price is now on here from the 49ers to the Eagles. I've seen him dropped everywhere. Nichols I've seen dropped everywhere. Kendall Milton is the other Georgia running back who they picked up as a UDFA, so another Georgia player here to the Eagles. I don't think he makes the team. I don't think they're going to keep four running backs, but I could see Milton being their practice squad guy. So I picked him. I have him pick him up in a few leagues off of waivers for free and just kind of see what happens.
I mean, Kenneth Gainwell has had numerous opportunities to, like, really carve out a role for himself and never really has. So it also kind of feels like maybe this is the last year of Kenneth Gainwell. Maybe we don't even get Kenneth Gainwell into the season and they just roll out Will Shipley and, like, Kendall Milton and TDP or something like that. Those are their four guys, with one of them bouncing back and forth between practice squads. So Will Shipley, I think, is probably the backup running back to own, in my opinion. And I could see Gainwell doing something where they let him go or whatever. They put him on the practice squad, and then he gets signed by Houston, for example, to be their third running back. So
I could see that. Yep. How about Shipley have you taken in your draft so far?
I got a shit ton of Will Shipley, but it's also especially in those leagues with kick returns, because I think Will Shipley is going to be one of the two guys back there for us returning kicks. So highly interested with him, and I think he might carve out like a little bit of a standalone role. Now, it's probably not going to be good for your lineup leagues outside of a Barkley injury, which could happen, knock on wood. I don't want to ever see that, but if it did, like, you're going to want some fucking Will Shipley around.
Yeah, a lot of Will Shipley. Yeah, it ain't going to be Gainwell carrying the load. It's going to be a split definitely between Gainwell and Shipley. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I got quite a bit of Will Shipley. That's a dude you can get in the fourth. Sometimes even the fifth, for fuck's sake.
Yep, that's another guy I've drafted quite a bit, so I agree. Washington. So Austin Eckler did sign here this offseason. Brian Robinson Jr. is there. I mean, Robinson Jr. had a really good receiving year last year, a lot better than people thought he could ever be. But I think with Eckler being there now, that's going to definitely cut into Robinson. But I still think Robinson's still going to be a solid RB2 type. I know at some point last year, early on, like he was like RB3 in PPR. It was like 5 or 6 weeks into the season. I don't see that ever happening again, but I think he's still a solid RB2. Eckler probably a solid RB2 still. I don't see him like being the RB1 that he has been for years. Chris Rodriguez Jr., who they drafted in the sixth round, he does do some kick returning as well, so I think Rodriguez is probably safe there. Jeremy McNichols has bounced around between 47 different teams, no thanks. Michael Wiley, the running back from Arizona, kind of a speed back. I kind of like him. I put some waiver claims on him for free in real deep leagues. Austin Jones, running back from USC. Never really got to play too much. Not really interested in him. But I think Eckler, Robinson Jr. I still think Rodriguez is a guy to own, but I've seen some people drop him too.
I'd pick up a lot of Chris Rodriguez if they dropped him. Outside of that, though, I have a hard time going to four. And if I had to, I'm probably with you. I think Michael Wiley is the most interesting one because of the speed. And he's not a small guy. I mean, we're not talking like Keaton Mitchell. This is a 215-pound dude who runs out like that. So some of that will translate. Austin Jones was just kind of mid for his entire career. So he's just meh. Meh, we're good.
Yep, I agree. Chicago, so they brought in DeAndre Swift to be their starter. Still have Khalil Herbert, who I still really like. Roshan Johnson had opportunities last year, never really capitalized on them. Travis Homer, no thanks, just a special teamer. And Elon Wheeler, who they brought in from Howard as a UDFA, not interested in.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Him, but I am interested in Swift, Herbert, and Roshan.
Yeah, those are the three you want. Don't know anything really about Ian Wheeler, and then went and looked him up, and the best you could do at Howard was 400 yards one season. So
nice.
That's at Howard, man.
Yeah. He will be in there in the fourth quarter of the preseason games and getting all the work.
Yeah, the first one, where they play the starters, maybe a snap.
Yeah. All right, on to the Lions now. David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs are locks. Sione Vaki is listed as the third running back. I've seen some people drafting him or picking him off of waivers. I just can't do it. If he impresses me during camp or something, I'll be wrong on him, but I'm not going to take him. Craig Reynolds, I still have one or two laying around, but I've cut him in a few places. Zonovan Knight, same thing. I see one of those guys probably being the third running back, but are they ever going to get used outside of an injury? Probably not. Jamar Jefferson, been in the league since 2021, hasn't done anything, so he's on every waiver wire, and so is Jake Funk as well.
David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously locks. Zonovan Knight's probably like the next guy I'm most interested in rostering, just because you did see him have some moments. I have no interest in Funk, Jefferson, or Craig Reynolds anymore. Like, I know they like him, and that's been the thing, but I'm kind of good with those guys. Vaki's an interesting one, and I'm probably like split down the middle. Because if he makes a full transition to running back, I could see like a... you want to do like player comps, more like a Tyler Allgeier type with him, right? Not like a super burner, but he does have really good athleticism in other areas. He jumped really high. His broad jump was good. His vert was good. And it's a guy who kind of learning how to play the running back spot. And they did announce him as running back when they drafted him, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
I always thought he was going to come in as a safety, and he said he wanted to play defense too. And I guess Detroit was like, I don't give a shit what you want. You'll play where we tell you or where we pay you to play.
Right. Okay. All right. On to Green Bay now. So obviously they brought in Josh Jacobs, drafted Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. A.J. Dillon signed a one-year very cheap deal here. I think they just hold on to him and see what happens. Basically injury insurance. Emmanuel Wilson, he did get some run during the playoffs last year, so I think Emmanuel Wilson has a good shot to make this team. Ellis Merriweather, he bounced around between the Saints and Packers last year. And then Jarvarian Howard, who they picked up from Alcorn State. I don't know much about him. But I am interested in, obviously, Jacobs and Lloyd. A.J. Dillon, I guess you can hold on to him, but in shallow leagues, I'm fine cutting A.J. Dillon. Emmanuel Wilson, I think, is better than A.J. Dillon. I think I'd rather have Emmanuel Wilson over Dillon, personally.
I'm holding on to the big three for sure, and then I'm shooting my shot on some Emmanuel Wilson. I think he has some talent. And I don't know, it feels like a good show for me to just make like my declaration, my hot take. Marshawn Lloyd finishes as the Packers RB1 in 2024. How about that?
That'll not be great for all my Josh Jacobs I've taken
so far. Well, it's still time to trade him. It's still time before this episode comes out, Eric. I gave you 2 days.
That's true. All right, on to Minnesota. So they didn't add very many people this offseason other than Aaron Jones. Ty Chandler still the backup, so I want those guys. Kenny and Wong Nu, pretty much just a returner at this point. Miles Gaskin and Dwayne McBride, who they took in the seventh round last year. Really, just for me, it's Jones and Chandler. Gaskin and Wong Nu are on all my waivers. McBride, I think people still own from last year, but he never did anything, and they had all those injuries and bad play at the running back position, and he still couldn't get on the field.
Yeah, that's kind of the death sentence for him, right? I cut a lot of my Dwayne McBride because of that. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ, if you would have had a shot, it would have been last year of all things. You know, people popping Achilles and going down left and right, and your team's in shambles and desperately needs running back play and still nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Like, can't even get a practice squad call up and give you like 10 carries in a random game. No, you don't get shit. So I'm with you for right now. This also kind of feels like the Houston situation where they're going to add somebody else during like the cut cycle, maybe a vet or something along those lines. But Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, those are the only guys I want to roster in Dynasty, even deep leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did with Gaskin last year. They picked him up, and he bounced around between a couple teams, I think the Rams and Vikings.
And again, like the death sentence for Gaskin, too. Like, they had him on the team, and they couldn't even figure out a way to get him on the field. Like, they didn't want to, so...
Yeah, one of my favorite players that I had, if you listen, like 2 years ago, I would always talk him up, but I would probably venture the guess he's maybe on one of my, like, 40 teams. So that's kind of where he's at now. Falcons, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, keeping those guys. Avery Williams, 2021 fifth-round pick. He's coming off last year. I think he had a massive injury, so he didn't play at all.
Knee injury, right?
Yeah. Jace McClellan, the sixth-round pick that they took this year, Alabama running back. And then Carlos Washington Jr., he was a UDFA from last year. He was battling with Godwin Igbuke for training camp. Igbuke beat him out and made the team, but Carlos Washington Jr. was pretty impressive during the training camp, so I'm kind of interested to see what he does this year. Does he look better than McClellan and better than Avery Williams coming off an injury? So Carlos Washington Jr. is somebody I'll just at least keep an eye on and see if he can beat out those other two, but it's like probably a 5-10% chance.
Bijan Algier, super locks. Yeah. And then I'm interested in Jace McClellan kind of winning that third role. I don't think Avery Williams is anything. And then I'm with you. Carlos Washington, star. I put a star next to his name and just keep an eye on it and kind of keep your ear to the ground about, you know, off-season reports. How's he doing? How's he performing? You know, any beat writers out there talking about, oh, he made a hell of a play or something like that.
And it wasn't like McClellan was terrible at Alabama. He just dealt with a lot of injuries. Obviously, there's other guys there, too. So we'll see what McClellan can do.
Jesus Christ, this team's got two fullbacks on their roster. Talk about old school right there.
Yeah, this still remnants of Arthur Smith, apparently.
I don't know either of these fullbacks, and I'm a guy who prides myself on being a former fullback. I have no idea who the fuck these guys are.
Yeah, me either, to be honest, so that's funny. All right, on to now the Carolina Panthers. So Chuba Hubbard, Jonathan Brooks, holding on to those guys. Miles Sanders is still here. You got to hold on to him for now. They did just sign Rashad Penny as well. Raheem Blackshear they brought back on a one-year deal. Mike Boone, free agent, put him on waivers everywhere. Jaden Sheridan is a running back from Monmouth, a UDFA. I'm not taking too much of him. I think there's like at least five guys ahead of him, so I'm not too interested in him. I think Hubbard, Brooks, Miles Sanders you can hold on to. I've seen people drop some pennies. There's still people holding on to him. I guess you can hold on to him in deeper leagues. Blackshear, you could probably cut as well.
Unfortunately, I do have to hold on to Miles Sanders. I don't have any interest in Rashad Penny. Like, that shit never worked out. He kind of like Gainwell, right? But even worse. I mean, he was a game day inactive most of the fucking time. I think you started it off on the Start Sit Show by, like, informing us when we... The very first one we did, like, oh yeah, Rashad Penny's inactive. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. That dream's dead. Yeah. It's over. Blackshear, no real interest there. Mike Boone is old as shit and gross. Sheridan is a little bit interesting. Like, I would at least, kind of like Carlos Washington, I'll put a star next to his name because he did come out and he had a pretty decent combine. If you come out and you're 5'8", you know, sub 190 pounds, and you run a 4.6, then I don't give a fuck about you. Like, you're dead. But he ran in the 4.4s, right? So there's a little interest there. And Miles Sanders maybe feels like that guy that they cut in training camp and just move on from. And, like, maybe Sheridan ascends to, like RB3 role. It'll be RB2 until Jonathan Brooks is healthy. But
yeah, I agree. On to the Saints now. So Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller. I think those three are pretty good locks for me right now. Kendre had a good week 17 last year. So hopefully, and that's another guy, he just couldn't stay healthy at all last year either. Hopefully he can be healthy. I think he's better than Jamal Williams. So that could be a nice 1-2 punch with Kamara and Miller. Jordan Mims, he was with Buffalo last year as a college free agent, signed here with the Saints. Not really too interested in him. James Robinson, completely dead. No thanks. And then Jacob Cabote, a free agent they picked up from Louisiana. I'm not too interested in him. I would just say the top three, Kamara, Williams, and Kendre Miller for me.
I got a little interest in Jacob Cabote, actually. Because the top three, Jamal Williams also feels like maybe that's a guy just with their salary cap and the way things are going, maybe they cut him. Maybe they do. Maybe they move on from him and it's Kamara and then it's Kendre. Who the fuck then is the RB3? I don't think it's Jordan Mims and James Robinson is dead. So Cabote, he's got the size. I mean, he's 225 pounds. He's a big dude. And he did start his career at Texas A&M. So it's not like he just played at Louisiana for Lafayette for his entire fucking career. Like, he started somewhere and then transferred. And he doesn't have, like, 400 yards. Or whoever the fuck that guy we were talking about who had, like, 400 yards at Hofstra or whatever. That was like the best you could do. So he did put up almost 800 yards at Louisiana Lafayette. So with that size, if you can move a little bit, he's a little bit intriguing. I'm not going out and actively looking for him in every sleeper league, but just kind of keep that one in mind where, like, what if they do move on from Jamal, who was really fucking awful for him last year?
Yeah. Maybe they could call back and bring him back from the dead for, like, the fourth time, Chris Ivory.
He's got to be doing something like a podcast or something on his own right now, don't he?
Or selling insurance or something. Yeah.
You remember me? I'm former Saints running back Chris Ivory.
Oh, man. All right. Tampa Bay. So Rashad White, Mike's favorite player, Bucky Irving, Chase Edmonds, Sean Tucker is still on the team. Patrick Laird is kind of like a hybrid fullback running back. And then two college free agents they brought in, DJ Williams from Arizona. I don't know much about him. And Ramon Jefferson from Kentucky. Another one I don't know too much about, to be honest. On this team, I think it's just White and Irving that I'm really interested in. I've kept a few Edmonds and Tuckers around, but not very much. I'm okay with cutting them in shallower leagues if I have to.
Yeah, I'm going to cut all my Chase Edmonds. Had multiple opportunities to be the guy last year, you know, to spell Rashad White and could never do anything. So write that one off as dead. Sean Tucker, still like the goody feels from back as a prospect, so I'll probably keep him around in just some of my leagues. But I'm not a big Bucky Irving fan, but you can't deny the fact that he just walks into like the number two role in this offense. It's a running back spot. Like, it's gift wrap for him. Here you go.
There you go. Sure.
Even though he doesn't hit the 3S. He's just a 2S. He's just small and slow. He doesn't suck.
Are you out on Sean Tucker?
I'm going to keep some of them around just because it feels good. It feels good. And that's the only good reason I have for you. If you wanted to drop them, go ahead. No problems there.
All right. On to Arizona now. So James Conner, Trey Benson, those guys are locks. Michael Carter is probably the three here. DJ Dallas, who they signed from Seattle, is the four. Amari DiMercato, who played really good for them last year at times, and then Tony Jones. So a lot of guys that have NFL experience, but I think they maybe keep three or four. So I think Conner and Benson are probably safe. I would say Michael Carter is fairly safe. It's going to be between Dallas and DiMercato, but I don't have any DJ Dallases on my teams. I may have like a couple DiMercato still. I think I would lean DiMercato, but they did sign DJ Dallas, so they're at least interested in him.
I would agree that I think DiMercato is more talented and would be more intriguing, but the simple fact that they signed DJ Dallas and you're changing the kickoff return rules this year where DJ Dallas does return kicks. So it feels like he's going to be a lock to make the roster, and at best you're hoping that DiMercato like maybe gets active for a few games. So I'm pretty good cutting him, definitely cutting Tony Jones. I'm not like rostering DJ Dallas outside of kick return leagues. That's it. That's the only time I give a shit about. And I'm with you. I think Michael Carter's probably the third running back. But it's tough, man. It's tough even to roster Michael Carter outside of the fact that, you know, James Conner is really good when healthy, and Trey Benson, they spent really good draft capital on, and I think can be a bell cow in waiting, if not overtaking James Conner. So what's that ever leave for, you know, older Michael Carter now? He's never really going to get an opportunity ever again, it feels like. Poor guy.
Yeah, probably not. 49ers, so another backfield with a lot of guys. So McCaffrey, obviously. Elijah Mitchell, if he can ever stay healthy, is there. Isaac Arendo, who they drafted in the fourth round. So obviously spending a fourth round pick on him, they really like that speed score out of him. Patrick Taylor Jr., who they signed from Green Bay. So that's kind of like a special teams player, can play running back in a pinch. Jordan Mason is still there, who played quite a bit for them last year too. And Cody Schrader, UDFA from Missouri last year, had a really good, I think he had like 1,600 yards in the SEC. That's a guy, fifth rounds or free off waiver wires. I'm picking up Cody Schrader from everywhere. Like, I think it's a non-zero chance that he makes the team too, because like I think he's very talented. I didn't really think much of Garendo, but it wouldn't shock me if Schrader outplayed Garendo.
Yeah. Right now, there's five guys off this team that I want. Right, Kyle Shanahan, San Francisco offense. The only guy I rule out is Patrick Taylor. Like, I'm just, no thank you.
But I want some shots at the other guys, I agree.
I want some shots at the rest of them. Elijah Mitchell kind of feels like maybe he might be a cut candidate, and then they roll with a Garendo or a Schrader, or, like you mentioned, Jordan Mason did play some big-time moments for him, and he actually had a decent game or two last year for him. So still going to keep him around. Why not? Because he hasn't shown me that he's Chris Evans and hasn't done anything in his entire fucking career. You've actually seen something from Jordan Mason. So yeah. I kind of want them all right now, other than Patrick Taylor. Sorry, Patrick. Get the fuck off my team forever.
I mean, it's they did sign or draft Guerrero in the fourth round, so that kind of shows you what they thought of their running back spot, and brought in probably one of the best UDFA running backs. Correct. Too. So
most intriguing, right? There's not a lot of UDFAs out there who got a resume in the SEC of 1,600 rushing yards in a season. Right.
Yeah, so and this guy plays with a fucking chip on his shoulder. He's been an underdog his whole career. So, like, that's, like, a really good story that, like, I think could make this team. And I agree with you. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they cut Elijah Mitchell and kept McCaffrey, Guerrero, Schrader with their three running backs.
I give Cody Schrader a little bit of a pass. You know, I'm a speed score snob, and if you look at his, it's bad. But he got hurt running the 40. Like, he literally... Yeah. Pulled a groin or a hamstring or something when he was running the 40. So,
yeah,
I get it. I'll give you a pass, man. I'll give you a pass. It's kind of like who's that defensive tackle? Was it Fletcher Cox? No, it was Chris Jones. Remember when his dick fell out?
Yeah, that's probably the most famous 40-yard dash. Second would be Andre Smith of the Bengals, who they made fun of him on fucking Hard Knocks. Remember that? Oh, you're muted.
If your thing falls out running the 40, I'll give you a pass. I'll give you a pass, Chris Jones.
Did you remember the Andre Smith one, too?
Do remember the Andre Smith one. Who was, just a couple years ago, we had our offensive line, Orlando Brown. You remember his 40 was like a 5.4 or some shit?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That was bad. There was a running back last year in Dane Brugler's guide. I'd have to go back and look it up. Remember, you know how they do that stump the truck thing? I put it in for it, but they never put him up. But it was a running back who ran like a 5.0140. I'm like, I gotta see this running back. How is he a running back and ran a 5.01 or something?
Jesus.
All right, on to the Seahawks, last two teams here. Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, those guys are must-owns. Kenny McIntosh, another Georgia running back that we were talking about earlier, all those Georgia guys. Seventh-round pick from last year, was hurt most of the last year, didn't get to really play. I think I don't want to say he's safe, but probably the best bet to be the RB3. George Helani from Boise State, I really liked him a lot. That's a guy I'll pick up for free off of waivers. Like, he could easily be the RB3 on this team, too. Tamrique Williams, running back, North Dakota State. I don't know much about him. And Kobe Lewis, running back from Florida Atlantic, another UDFA as well.
Well, I still have some interest in Kenny McIntosh, but it's kind of fading. I find myself rostering a lot more George Helani. George Helani was really good for Boise State the previous year. And then this past year he got banged up, and then Ashton Jeanty just fucking took off and ran away with it. And George Helani never had a chance. So I think Helani has some talent for sure. And I think he might actually even be like the front runner for me over like Kenny McIntosh as RB3. So Helani's probably my most interesting one. Those four guys, really, I don't know enough about Tamrique Williams or Kobe Lewis to really make an accurate assessment on them. But Helani is somebody from the C2C days where I was like, man, I thought like 2 years ago this son of a bitch was like really productive for my team. And then you go back and you're like, damn, he was. What happened to him? And then you see he got injured, and then you see Ashton Jeanty just fucking rocket ship. You're never getting your job back after that, buddy.
Yep. Okay. All right, last team up, the Rams. Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, those are the main two right now. Ronnie Rivers, who they really like still. Zach Evans, who they took in the sixth round last year. And then Boston Scott, who they brought in. I think the only ones I'm rostering right now are Kyren and Corum. Rivers, I've pretty much cut everywhere. Zach Evans, I have cut everywhere. Boston Scott, I don't have any interest in either.
I still kind of want to hold on to a little bit of Ronnie Rivers. Blake Corum, obviously 2 years ago, had a major knee injury and then came back and played almost all last year just completely fine. But Kyren definitely has some injury concerns. So Ronnie Rivers, like, it feels like they like him and they keep him around all the time. So I'll probably roster some Ronnie Rivers, but Zach Evans, I fuck cut him everywhere last year. Kind of like those Minnesota running backs we were talking about. It was like, listen, buddy, like, they brought in Royce fucking Freeman off the streets, like, begging groceries and gave Darryl him carries. And Darryl Henderson. Before they'd even let you touch the football. Like, they're killing Mon the shit out of you. Like, why do we want to see Zach Evans? And we see him every day at practice. So,
yeah.
I'm good. And then Boston Scott. I guess you could pick him up right before if the Rams play the Giants. Pick Boston Scott up because he'll probably have like seven touchdowns.
Seven touchdowns, right. That's about it. All right. We went through every single running back depth chart. I think we pretty much touched everybody's who to keep, who to not keep, who we're interested in, who to keep an eye on list. So I think that's pretty good. Are you ready to do America's favorite game? And then we'll get on out of here.
The ice chunks in the glass say yes. They're really jingly.
There you go. All right. We'll keep up the running back theme. So one thing I kind of want to keep an eye on more this year, especially with the college football game coming out, I think this will be a lot easier for people to actually remember prospects' names because they're going to be doing their leagues and seeing, oh, you know, this guy's at the top of the rushing, you know, stat list behind me or whatever it is. So these names are going to be more familiar with people, I think, going forward because of the college football game. But who are some, like, 2025 running back prospects, like some of your favorites that might probably be coming out next year or some guys that you're watching?
And we mentioned a couple of them already. Ashton GT out of Boise State. Mm-hmm. Very intriguing. Not the biggest guy. But if you want big, we mentioned Ollie Gordon. Ollie Gordon's like all world everything.
Yeah.
This next class for running backs, if they come out, which anymore with NIL and like kind of how things go with there, I couldn't tell you for sure if like these early declares are coming out at the running back position or they're going to stay in school and make a couple mil off NIL deals. But Nick Singleton is a very interesting one. He's a Devy darling. Now, this last year, people kind of soured on him, and he does have some issues. He's kind of got some Trent Richardson, Trey Benson issues.
What do you think about the other Penn State kid? Was it Catron Allen?
Catron Allen. I really like Catron Allen, too.
Yeah, like, I'm like, man, why isn't Singleton, like, getting, like, 30 carries a week? And I was like, this Catron Allen's, like, getting, like, half
getting
the work.
He's getting the work. And then, of course, your Ohio State Buckeyes, man. You got a double duo there, which they're going to need because Will Howard sucks at quarterback, by the way.
They're going to have to run the ball 40 times. They're going to have to completely change the offense, and Emeka Ibuka is going to go in round four now because he didn't do – it should have went out this year.
Because they changed it to the wing D.
Yeah.
They can run Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, and Travion Anderson. But both those backs are really good. There's some really interesting ones. I'm an Iowa fan at heart. I want to see if Caleb Johnson can kind of turn it around a little bit. His freshman year, he was outstanding. Runs a little upright, but definitely that kind of guy where when I watch him play at Iowa, it's like, okay, size, check. Speed, good enough, check. Be interested if he can make some noise and maybe make himself an early declare type running back. There's a lot of good running backs in 2025. Now, I don't know if they're all going to come out, though. I don't know who's going to fade out. But probably the ones I'm most excited about is Ollie Gordon, for sure. And just go check out Ollie Gordon's stats. Like, even if you don't want to watch him play, you're not a college fan, just go look at his stats and tell me that's not somebody you couldn't get excited about at the next level.
Yeah, I want to just go through, shout out to Campus Decanima, go through some of their Devy ranks right now, some guys. So obviously we talked about both Ohio State guys. They're listed as one and two.
Yep.
Trevor Etienne, obviously Travis Etienne's brother, transferred over to Georgia.
As long as he stops driving drunk, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he could be up there. Nick Singleton, we mentioned Devin Neal from Kansas.
Oh, I forgot about Devin Neal. Yep. Devin Neal's a good one.
Damian Martinez.
Very good. Oh, nobody gets to see him play because he plays at Oregon State.
It looks like he transferred to Miami. I didn't know that.
Yep. Moved on. Well, as soon as the rest of the Pac-12 transferred, he's like, I don't want to be part of the Pac-2. Yep. Fuck out of here.
Last year, a lot of people love this guy, and now he transferred to South Carolina, Rocket Sanders.
Big fucking guy who runs really fast.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting one. Ollie Gordon, who we've mentioned a lot. That Campus to Canton doesn't have him as high, which is interesting.
I got one for you that I really like watch playing, and I watched a lot of because I was such a Drake May fan. Omarion Hampton out of UNC.
Yeah, yep, he's the next one on the list. After
that's Benetti. A good one for people to watch, yep.
DJ Giddens from Kansas State. I don't know much about
him. Don't know much about DJ Giddens. No lie there.
This one I do know about. Jaden Ott from California. I liked him. Good receiver.
Okay.
Check him out. Yeah, he. I'll actually pull up his stats really quick. He had some really good, impressive first year with California last year. All right, let's see. Jaden Ott here. In 2022 as a freshman. 170 carries, 987 yards, 8 touchdowns, 46 catches, 345 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Nice. And then how about Jaden Blue? How high did they have him on there? Texas has just been shitting out running backs, and I know we kind of just think Cedric Baxter is going to be the guy, but Jaden Blue came on last year, and he will be draft eligible next year.
I'll have to pull it up here in a second, but Ott last year, 246 carries, 1,315 yards, 12 touchdowns, 25 catches, 169 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I didn't catch as much, but 2 good years in a row there for California, not a team that's fighting for national championships or anything, but still a pretty good team. Looking at Jaden Ott here, Jaden Blue, you said. He's not in the top 3 list here, so he's not in the top 30.
Okay.
Cedric Baxter was up there as in the top.
Listen, it'd only be the second.
Jaden Blue is 31st.
It'd only be the second most disrespectful thing Campus to Canton has done to me today. The first one, it was the competition where they gave my show plus 1,000 odds. What the fuck? Plus 1,000?
I did see that. That was a little disrespectful for sure. Donovan Edwards, a lot of people know that name. He's 35th.
He's on the cover of the fucking video game, for fuck's sake. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, speaking of disrespect, they put Judkins in an Ohio State helmet on there before Travion. What are we doing here?
You might be the number one. Not going to lie.
I'm just loyal. I just wanted to go over some 2025 names that we could be looking at next year at the running back spot. If a lot of these guys do come out, like, it's definitely 30 times better than this year's running back class. Even though we liked a lot of the running backs this year, I think we're going to get some more first rounders, a lot more second rounder type running backs. I could see maybe like one, maybe two of these guys going like the actual NFL draft first round, but probably a lot more in like the second round, third rounds, kind of like how we got Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb and all those guys, when they went in like the second round, high second round.
It really feels like it is what the 2023 class was supposed to be, right? Yeah. One or two guys possibly in that first round, a plenty of talent in that day two. Second, third round, plenty of talent all over the place. So I know some people have been kind of poo-pooing that idea, people I respect. But when I look at it, I'm like, man, there are so many fucking running backs here that I'm excited about. And so many running backs I would have ranked higher than a lot of these guys. Like if I put, I think Jonathan Brooks by far and away is probably the number one. Trey Benson like a second for him. If I were to put some of these running backs in, listen, some of these guys would have been over Jonathan Brooks already. Yeah. Judkins, Travion Henderson, no question about it. Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Ollie Gordon, for example. Like, I would have them over Jonathan Brooks, to be completely honest. And then you go down the next tier to Trey Benson and, you know, Ashton Jeanty, Rocket Sanders, Donovan Edwards. Like, those guys are in the same caliber for me. Yeah. And the names are just so deep, so this could be the great RB reset, which I think for us comes at a perfect time where everybody hates fucking running backs and we devalue them to shit. So if you're paying attention, listen, you want to compete in 2025? Like, I don't recommend like competing with rookies, but if you're going to compete with any rookie position, it's going to be fucking running backs. So start loading up on those 25 picks and just hammer running backs to the tits and you'll be fine.
And be mindful of those guys that you think could be really good, like Zamir White, he could easily be replaced here. Yep. Derrick Henry is probably on his last years. Yep. He could easily be replaced.
Rashad Austin White Ackler's. Could be a guy who's out the door in a year.
Yeah, Rashad White. James Cook.
Yep. Just Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard slash both of those guys. Yep.
Yep. So there, you know, be mindful of that during the season. You know, if you're not into it, you know, you can get anything for those guys.
Ramondre, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren.
Yeah. Joe Mixon. They didn't pick up Najee's fifth year option, which was surprising.
Could be a lot of teams with running back needs that are kicking a lot of dudes to the curb in 2025 with a lot of really good talent coming in. So just keep that in mind.
Absolutely. Before we get out of here, obviously patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Join us over there. Roster reviews. We're still doing roster reviews. DynastyRosterReview.com or DynastyTeamReview.com for that. Man, we got all kinds of good stuff going on. YouTube's going. Podcast. I'm doing the fantasy team previews right now with Koopa. That's dropping one a day right now for at least one division. Probably get some more next week going up there. So those are on YouTube and podcast form if you want to divulge into those. Quick little 20-25 minute little synopsis on the teams. And that's about it for me. You got anything?
That's all I got, man. Like we went through running backs that I put on the Miami Dolphins hat just so we could talk about, you know, all three of them.
Yeah.
All three potential fantasy league winners.
Every single one of them. Like, if the other two get hurt, the other one could just fucking have a monster game.
Oh, my God. And you've seen two of them coexist at the same time before. We saw it last year.
Yeah, they put up 70 fucking burger. Mostert had 4 touchdowns. A chain put up 70 points. Yeah, it was crazy.
Nuts, man. Good show. I like diving into the running backs. Last year made me like Jalen Warren when I shouldn't, but I did. And then I spent the whole year just, like, shitting on him. Just because he never overtook Najee. That was it. I don't think he's not talented. I like Eric's got him as a UDFA. It was a good find. I was just saying, don't put him over Najee until he actually fucking plays over Najee.
Yeah, Najee's so underrated right now. That's definitely a guy I want to pick some more up. Yeah,
you think he's gonna run angry this year? Like, y'all didn't pick my option up. Should. Fuck y'all.
Like, yeah, and their offensive line is so much more improved. They got a offensive coordinator who just wants to run the fucking ball. Like,
Josh Jacobs from 2 years ago, just transplant that to what Najee's
gonna
do.
That could be my Jacobs to pivot down. Go trade Jacobs, get Najee in something.
Please do.
I might could try it.
Let's try it. Let's get some deals done. I'll show you on the trade show on Saturday, Eric.
Perfect. All right, guys, that is it. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, follow us there. At Iowa Michael, at South Harmon FF, all that on Twitter, YouTube, all that good stuff. Follow us there, and we will see you guys next week for episode 43.
See ya.